everyone, it's Henry, Mike, and Jeff of The Decentralists. An interesting hot topic today called private spies. According to a recent article in The Intercept, Anomaly 6, a mobile phone spyware solution created by two former NSA military intelligence officers, can track roughly 3 billion, with a B, devices in real time. It's equivalent to 20% of the world's population. And this staggering surveillance capacity was brought forward during a sales pitch to provide A6's phone tracking capabilities to Signal Labs. This is getting far worse than we ever imagined. It's starting to get a little scary now, so I want to get Mike and Jeff to get their feedback, their impressions, and exactly what is going on in the world now. Because it used to be, as far as I was concerned, that governments had this technology. But Mike, what's happening? It seems like private companies?
So, Henry, you know, we've kind of been dabbling a little bit in this, you know, area of these kind of spyware applications. We've talked about Pegasus, which is the spyware from NSO Group. And we've talked a lot about Clearview AI and these folks. And, what you see in these companies is they basically represent kind of like the, let's say, the privatization of state surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could think about it as kind of the collision of, say, government state surveillance and commercial grade advertising based surveillance. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so what you see here in some of these folks, right? I mean, I think this bit about in the intro about Anomaly 6 is kind of, you know, the key here is this is a company that has a massive data set, okay, 3 billion people's mobile devices, and presumably all the information that's available on them, like where they're connected and when and to who and things like this. And it's the type of information that normally would not be accessible by, you know, the average human or even the average company.
Then where'd they get it?
Well, this is, I think, something that needs to be explored further, right? I mean, is it just a coincidence that two ex-NSA military intelligence officers who probably by the job description would have had access to all of this information anytime they want, especially if you kind of go back to what Snowden said about NSA.
Right.
And then and now all of a sudden you've got, you know, two people just say, hey, they hand in their letter of resignation, they walk out of the Pentagon, and on that USB stick it isn't the customer list, it's like the freaking everybody's phone number. You know, like what exactly, you know, so that's the first question, right? I mean, I think with some of these folks, like Clearview AI, they purport to have built their entire facial recognition biometric, you know, kind of profiling solution by scraping, without people's consent, the publicly available images on all of these social media
platforms. Yeah, that's a fact. We already discussed that. Yeah.
That's exactly what those guys. So for those guys, you can say, okay, if you trust them, then they're doing something that is still dodgy and illegal because they didn't get consent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's publicly available information. Whereas the stuff with this Anomaly 6, to me, doesn't sound like publicly available information.
Maybe they bought it from someone.
Of course, they sure.
What these intelligence professionals specialize in since the dawn of time, and this goes even back before technology, is aggregating together disparate bits of information to get a whole picture. I don't know if you guys remember Harrison Ford playing Jack Ryan years ago in Patriot games, where he's trying to figure out where these people are and what they're doing. And he's aggregating, well, this guy was in London and he went here, and then this ship left on this date and this happened. And he connects all the pieces together and says, in likelihood, this is what is happening based on putting those pieces of intelligence together. Well, fast forward to 2022, and you have the Twitter fire hose that is saying that these guys have right. The Twitter fire hose of data that is saying, here are the pictures these people are posting that they're geotagging. And oh, by the way, they're doing it from their phone, so Twitter knows their phone number. And you know, their username might be Cheesy Mouse, but we have their phone number, and I can combine it with this other database publicly available that tells me that that phone number belongs to Steve, and Steve lives in Vancouver, right. But hey, he's tweeting from Toronto, so this is probably what's going on. And you start, you take something that you've been given, like the Twitter fire hose, or that you've paid for, perhaps, and then you start aggregating it with some other database you've bought, and some other data that is open and free, and with some geographical data, and then you just run it through some powerful computers, and now you can start running queries on all this sort of information, and say that, you know, you're tracking this person, and with 80%, 90%, or 100% probability, this is what they're doing and where they're going. Even if you don't necessarily, I mean, if you somehow manage to get tracking software onto their phone or their computer, then, you know, then you have it down to the meter. But even without that, you can just get into all this balance of probability stuff that is quite accurate and correct, quite dangerous.
And you mentioned the Twitter fire hose. What is that? I've not heard of it.
Seems like we bring up Elon Musk in every one of our podcasts these days, but this is a good example. So the Twitter fire hose is all of the raw Twitter data. So all of the, you know, the hundreds of thousands of tweets that are generated every minute, and who's sending them and what they say and so on. It's just the raw data. So when Elon was complaining that, hey, you have too many bots and you're not sharing with me and da da da, Twitter said, okay, here you go, and just opened the tap and just gave him all of the information.
Right.
And what this story has made clear is that they will sell that to other people as well.
Oh, so they gave it really? To Elon,
but you can apparently just buy the fire hose. And it's kind of – the reason they can do that is the fire hose is sort of already available now, in the sense that Twitter just shows you all the tweets. Now, they've put a friendly face on it and a filter and what have you. But if you followed 100 million people and clicked refer, like you can do it. So they're like, all right, well, we'll just sell it to you because it's just public info. If you send a tweet, unlike Facebook, tweets are generally public unless you've closed the door, right? So the fire hose is basically, here's everything as it comes in. We're just spraying it out at you. And if I've tagged my location, if I'm down at the Empire State Building and I post a picture of Empire State Building, then you can do image recognition and determine where somebody is and so on and so on and so on. So, yeah, that's what the fire hose is.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that's important to think about, I really like the 30-year John Ryan Patriot Games kind of thing. Jack Ryan. I think that at the end of the day, you know, it's important to make a couple of distinctions, right? I mean, back in those days when you watched those movies and you saw the guys in, you know, kind of that weird CIC command and control center with all the screens and, you know, they'd have all these cameras all over the place and, you know, things like this. It was usually kind of physical surveillance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the thing that that people traditionally would think of when it comes to surveillance, right? Oh, there's a camera up on the end of that tree, right? Or whatever, or on that light post. And I think that that's that first thing. Second, it was always focused on some kind of international mysterious terrorist or organization like that.
Yeah, that is exactly key.
Right.
Because, you know, some of the people that might listen to this podcast will laugh at me with what I'm about to say, but the Western nations operate under at least some framework of legal responsibility and legal requirements around.
Yeah, is it legal?
Spying, you know, the NSA spying on Americans as opposed to spying on foreign nationals.
Correct.
What the CIA operating in the United States versus operating overseas, they operate within this legal framework most of the time. Now, if you're a private entity and you're spying on people, then you're operating against some laws that were written in 1992 that have no bearing today. And, you know, when an organization says this is terrible, you can just say, well, what laws am I breaking?
Exactly.
So these are private companies and governments are buying their information.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if it was in this article, but there was one that I was reading just recently on this kind of whole industry. So, you know, they have these, you know, to no big surprise, I'm sure everybody knows it, but they have like trade shows for arms.
Security.
I actually went to one in Istanbul once. You know, like where you walk around a trade show and instead of seeing, you know, booth babes and kind of squishy balls, it's like guns and drones and tanks. But what's been happening is the fastest growing portion of these defense establishment trade shows, you know, where generals from like everything from the United States down to like the banana republics are there.
Yeah.
Is like the last one had 650 different private company technology, spyware, hacking, tracking companies.
Digital surveillance tools, privately configured.
Right. And so you think about this, right? Okay, so, you know, the crux of the NSA expose that Snowden did kind of in the middle of this, you know, Patriot Games and Now time, right, was about the fact that the NSA is kind of the military intelligence arm. And they're kind of not allowed to, you know, surveil citizens of the United States, I think, within the United States or, in fact, anywhere, I don't think. Something like that. And so this idea that now the NSA itself doesn't have to do anything. The NSA could decide that they want to surveil an American citizen, which is not in their remit.
Right, right.
And all they need to do is literally just like go online and put the person's name in the shopping cart and press purchase. And Palantir or one of these other guys, Anomaly 6 or whatever, will delightedly run that query for you.
Oh, yeah.
And right? Or even worse, some third party in the middle, right? Like some murky third party. Because what happens in all of these things, you know, every time they haul ClearView up in front of, you know, the RCMP and they say they expose them and they get banned in the country and it just keeps going, you know, there's always these investigations in these companies, but they're always very careful to say, we don't use it. We just build it. Right?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's like we build, it's like saying I'm Remington and I build the gun, but I don't kill people. Right. It's the same. Yeah, it's the NRA kind of argument.
Well, I've got a question. And Jeff, I know that you've touched on this before, but I've often wondered, okay, if they are tracking me, I personally have my location data turned off. I would say 99.9% of the time, unless I have to use Google Maps or something. So can they track me, Jeff?
Yes and no. In your case, Henry, I know that you do not leave much of a digital footprint out there in the world. So it would certainly be harder for them to track you. If your phone is on, it connects to a cell tower.
Right.
And that cell tower, depending on, you know, if you're inside a stadium, then they'll know you're inside the stadium because you're connected to that cell tower. But the people who know, or the cell spot in that case, but the people who know are your cell provider, your mobile phone provider, and they might or might not provide that information elsewhere. So in your example, I mean, you don't use Twitter much at all. And if you did use Twitter, you wouldn't geotag things and that kind of thing. But if you're the kind of person who does leave a digital footprint as you go along, like these Russian soldiers in Ukraine that are taking selfies and sending them back home and all this sort of thing, then, so your question was, what about me? What about Henry? And I would argue you're probably, you know, you're probably pretty low in terms of what you're going to leave out there. Mike is probably low. I'm kind of medium. So but for your average person, which represents 95% mm-hmm. or more of the people out there, where their location's on and they're going on Instagram and they're going on Twitter and they're going on Facebook and they're doing this, that, and the other thing, and they're just leaving these digital bread, public digital breadcrumbs wherever they go, then yes, those people are being followed pretty well. Now, if the police were trying to find you, or if it was like a lost, you know, a runaway teenager or something, they can actually reach out to the cell companies, and the cell companies will come back and say, these are the cell towers that the person was talking to. But if it was just, you know, random company, then Rogers or Verizon or whomever would not provide that information.
That answers my question well. But to make it a bit more murky, I remember once we were doing a podcast and we were talking about the power of the NSO group and their infamous Pegasus spyware. And did we not find out that indeed they can track anything, whether you have your location data on or not? It's so powerful, but they would have to target you specifically. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's, Henry, is the difference between, you know, some of these tools.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them are kind of proactive and directed, right? I want Henry's location information, right? 24/7. I want to know everything that's going on with Henry. I don't care what he's done with his phone. Then I could use Pegasus. I would call Pegasus. I would say I'd like a copy of, or NSO. I'd say I'd like a copy of Pegasus. And then I would load it on your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. And that can be done, like, you know, this stuff installs and they say, you don't know it's installed. It can turn, like, they can turn your microphone on. They can, you know, turn on all of your features and functions. They can take pictures with your phone if they want. They can do all of this stuff and you don't even know it's there. Then there's the other side, right? Which is this kind of, to Jeff's point earlier, this kind of big data grabbing piece, right? Which is like the Palantirs and stuff, which is, you know, which is a huge company, the biggest data contractor to the US government. And Peter Thiel has lunch in the White House all the time.
Wow.
And this guy runs a company that's mission is to literally have a private, comprehensive, real-time updated database on every single citizen on this planet.
Gee.
Right? And so when you start to think about, and literally the scary part of this is, okay, one of the scary parts is that, you know, almost all of this information is just there. Now, it's scattered everywhere like breadcrumbs, right? But if you go out there and you're patient enough and you gather enough breadcrumbs, you can make a loaf.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, Henry, to your point about I've got location services turned off, okay? Well, I know for a fact, I read an article about a year and a half ago that said that, like, let's say you're on an iPhone. Apple has all of the data from all of your sensors. Yeah, there's gyros in there that can tell whether you're lying down or standing up or how fast you're going. All of that stuff is built into these devices, right? And so when you go in and say, turn location services off, what that's meant to do is disable it for another app that wants to get that data. That may not necessarily turn your GPS ping off.
That's correct. Wow. Yeah.
It may just not share it with the Domino's guy.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, right, this is part of the problem, right, is we're all walking around and we've either got some social media app that because of the 73-page legal agreement is sucking everything. We've got our telcos who, because of the 13-page contract you sign when you get your mobile service contract, probably has lots of goodies in there like, we can take all your information and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then you've got the guys like Clearview and Palantir that are just gobbling it all up, scraping it out of the Twitter fire hose, whatever. And they've got enough computing power and enough brute force to basically say, give me one input, Henry. Remember that the other day where they said, if you have basically somebody's birth date, their zip code and their name, that's enough to basically rebuild their entire identity. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right? They don't even need something as significant as your phone number anymore.
Okay, so to both of you, I guess in closing, what can we do to prevent this surveillance from occurring? Jeff, I'll start with you.
It's a difficult one. On a personal level, I guess it's be like Henry. You know, turn your location services off and use your phone to write text messages and, you know, take pictures. Don't use Twitter. Don't use Facebook. Don't use Instagram. Don't create these breadcrumbs that can be baked into a very nice rye loaf. And then the other side of it, in my opinion, is, and this is very difficult in the United States, it's easier in Europe, it's easier in Canada, is push on the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this in other podcasts before. It is staggering to me that, you know, radio came along and radio was regulated, and telephone came along and telephone was regulated, and television came along and television was regulated. And suddenly 1995 and the information superhighway hit, and suddenly we're incapable of regulating anything anymore other than Section 230.
Excellent point.
And I think, and Europe is starting to do it. Other people are starting to do it, but basically just say, hey, companies, what you're doing is illegal. If someone takes a picture of the Eiffel Tower and tweets it, you shouldn't be allowed to aggregate that with other data of Eiffel Tower to figure out where he is and sell that information. Like make these sort of activities illegal.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that is the other angle, because, you know, people want to send their grandmother a picture of the Eiffel Tower, right? And so you shouldn't have to limit your life to a flip phone from 2003 in order to avoid these kind of things. It should be a regulatory environment. And, you know, I have friends who will say to me, you know, that's ridiculous solution, or, you know, stop demanding that, but I'm gonna stick to that rant.
Fair enough, Mike. Do you agree, or do you have any other ideas? I hope,
without a doubt. I mean, I fully agree that I think the silver bullet for this is regulate them at the point of entry, right? Like but like literally not this piecemeal. Okay, what are we? You know, let's put a special, you know, Johnson Act against surveilling 12-year-old children in Texas high schools. I'm talking about, it would need to be something that says when somebody hits their entry point to the internet, like literally when they're 3 years old, you're not allowed to collect any personal information on any entity from the moment they start entering the internet, just even to facilitate the connection. That's what I'm talking about. And then if as that child or person grows, or as I go through it, to Jeff's point, if I want to limit what's out there to be potentially compiled by Clearview and Palantir and stuff, I just limit what I use.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem is that when you sign that first mobility contract in your name, or back in the days when you got your first CompuServe account, you basically started that. You linked yourself to this thing.
Yep.
And they've built everything on top of it from there.
And of course, no one knew it would become a monster.
No, nobody expected it to. Right? Because it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be, you know, it was meant to be a connection.
I know.
Right? I dial up a number, or I plug into a socket on the wall, and now I can talk to you and Jeff and we can record a podcast.
I know.
Right? But I think just the last point I'm going to say is also from a, and I understand that, you know, there's always levels of practicality or impracticality. Right? But another thing that people, I think, should be aware of is that there are other kind, and they're very early stage, but like there's Linux phones, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a smartphone, right, that can download apps and can, you know, do things, you could switch to some, and maybe not now, but in a really near future, theoretically, you'd be able to switch to a Linux smartphone. And I've looked at some of these, and they have things like, wow, you can actually flick an actual hardware switch and turn the 3G radio off.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can flick a hardware switch and turn the Wi-Fi off, or the Bluetooth, or whatever. So if you don't want to be surveilled, if you don't want to be bouncing off power towers as you drive down the highway, turn your radio off. right? So these are options that I think, you know, are things that people could look at, right? If I need to do my thing, then I'm going to make it harder for them to mobily track me. Or I'm just going to basically, I'm going to literally insist. They're either going to give me a Motorola brick or I'm going to insist that they stop collecting data on people.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think the best place to start is literally at day one. Because we, I think, as a generation or two generations of internet folk are already too far gone.
No question about that. No question.
But we can start so all of us are going to be at a point, Henry, where we're going to go, this is where it stops. And then you make efforts to remove yourself. That's kind of what I think for us.
Well, Michael, Jeffrey, thank you for your thoughts. It seems to be getting more complex every week. And the mere fact that there are private companies that specialize in aggregating data from the entire population of the world, as I said, we've got to keep watch on this and support those that create regulations and be careful.
They wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making money. That's the sad part.
That's for sure. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you. Talk to you next time.